Blog Talk Radio.
Time to musk up.
Wow. Never ceases to amaze me. What cologne are you going to go with? London Gentleman or... Wait. No. Hold on. Blackbeard's Delight.
No. She gets a special cologne. It's called Sex Panther by Odeon. It's illegal in 9 countries. Yep. It's made with bits of real panther. So you know it's good.
It's quite pungent.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, it's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils. In a good way.
Yeah.
Brian, I'm going to be honest with you. That smells like pure gasoline.
They've done studies, you know. 60% of the time, it works every time.
That doesn't...
And welcome to Fantasy Football Tonight. I'm your host, Todd, the True Guru Perino. And I have to agree. 60% of the time, we work 50% of the time. We are here for our 9th season, as I'll be joined, of course, shortly by my co-host, Mr. R.C. Rizza. And for our 9th year of doing podcasts on Blog Talk Radio. And it has been a very, very eventful 9 years. We've had just tremendous success, not only in offering just amazing fantasy advice, but being able to speak with our listeners and just have just really a nice little fun time working our fantasy football magic. And I am now joined by the legend, R.C. Rizza. Please, no autographs. Mr. Rizza, how you doing?
Yeah, you're way too kind. Yeah, Mr. Screw-Up, who was supposed to send you the show opening an hour ago, and I just actually sent it to you. So, I guess I missed the deadline, right?
Well, yeah. What's even better though is that I uploaded the wrong show opening, and I go, oh, that's the one from a couple of years ago. So, don't worry. We'll
what
get
happened?
Next show. Well, I mean, I have several of our old ones, and I was going to use our Swingers Edition one because I wanted to use that one. It's a pretty cool one. And I just uploaded the wrong one. I played it, and I go, oh, my God, that's not the one I chose. It's the first show. We got to work out the kinks.
You know, actually, if you can get to your email and you want to, like, play the opening once you receive it, that'd be cool.
I will do that while we're doing the show. I will make that numero uno prime thing I'm going to do. All right. Well, since our shows are going to be a little shorter now, they're going to be about 30 to 40 minutes long for now. I'm working with Blog Talk Radio to see if we can make them a little longer, but for now, that's what they're going to be. So we're going to get to the meat. I do want to – I'm sure a lot of people who aren't the fantasy geniuses, as though you are and many other people who believe they are, don't know a lot about some of these rookies and some of these off-season moves, RC. So I'm going to leave it up to you what you wanted to start with. Do you want to start with some of the off-season transactions that occurred and kind of get into them and the important ones, or do you want to go into this rookie class that could have a massive fantasy impact?
I think let's talk about the off-season moves. There's a number of course, running backs who changed their venues who are extremely interesting. Yeah, the first of which, of course, is LeSean McCoy, who moves from Philadelphia to Buffalo. And that actually should be a good change of scenery for McCoy. I mean, I've heard kind of like mixed opinions about it, but what do you think? This should actually, because he was misused or underutilized, or you know, that wacky Philadelphia offense. You know, he was pretty much a disappointment last year. You know, I think you know, the fantasy expectations of him were definitely higher than what transpired. But moving to Buffalo, where he's going to be appreciated, and well, I would say that he is pretty much going to be the focal point of that offense. That should be a really good change for him, right?
You know, I think it will be a very good change for him. My only concern is it's Buffalo. And as our friend Jason Swiss would say, it's Buffalo. So we're in agreement on the fact that it's Buffalo. It's a team that comes out, looks like a Super Bowl contender about four games into the season and drops off there. So my only concern is, can Buffalo, with Sammy Watkins and the rest of that crew and now LeSean McCoy, can they put together the kind of offense that we think they can? And frankly, looking at that whole offense, RC, I believe that they can become, especially in that division, and just really, just talent-wise, I believe that they can become one of the, what I would like to refer to as a fantasy, offensive fantasy juggernaut, where like there would be like the Dallas Cowboys, where you have so many players in the team that can produce fantasy points. LeSean McCoy will not only become the focal point of this, but he's going to, you know, just because of the way the Buffalo runs that offense, and you can look back to Fred Jackson's success there, and I speak not of the other C.J. Spiller. You know, he's upset me multiple times. But, with the success of the running game they had previous to LeSean McCoy, I don't see it getting any worse. I actually see it getting a lot better. So I think this is a very good fantasy move for him, getting him out of that crazy Philadelphia scene.
And then, you know, on the opposite side of that, of course, is C.J. Spiller, who was a perennial disappointment over in Buffalo. He moves over to New Orleans, and you know where he should be backing up Mark Ingram. Although the style of them, you know, in terms of running style is completely different, and they should be able to carve out distinct roles. They're not interchangeable. Mark Ingram is more of a plodding kind of power rusher, and of course C.J. Spiller, when allowed to do when basically the offense is designed to allow him to do what he can do, and basically he's allowed to find openings. And, you know, the thing with C.J. Spiller is maybe you can't blame the Buffalo offense as much as, you know, maybe it just is never really going to happen for him, you know, but certainly, you know, he gets a fresh start over in New Orleans, and this could actually be significant. I don't recall exactly where he's going in fantasy drafts, but I remember last year he was going way too high. This year we should I will look that up. But if you give your opinion on how that's gonna work out
with C.J. Spiller,
in New Orleans.
Well, I mean, C.J. Spiller has all the talent in the world. I mean, you saw last year he ran back kicks. You know, he gets in the open field. He's uncatchable. I mean, he's like what you want to see out of DeMarco Murray, but what he doesn't have that DeMarco Murray has, which is the ability to take a hit. But in New Orleans, you don't have to take hits. I mean, this is a team that comes out, guns a-blazing, Drew Brees, the whole passing offense, and the way they utilize Reggie Bush and the way they utilized Darren Sproles. I mean, they turned Darren Sproles to a second running back and made him an elite fantasy player. I think they can do the same thing with C.J. Spiller. I still have belief in him. I mean, this is a guy that I've loved since he was drafted. So I firmly believe in him. It's just the question is, number one, can he stay healthy? And you have to hope on the turf in New Orleans that he can stay healthy. And if he can, you're going to look at a very, very good pick in the draft, because you're going to get him at a good point in the draft where he's going to be a great value pick, but he has to be able to perform. And this team will utilize him, because we saw what happened to the Saints last year. Their offense took a plunge, and a lot of people are going to say, well, it was this, it was that. No, one of the reasons why their offense took a massive plunge is because they lost Darren Sproles, you know, catching those balls out of the backfield and opening up that, you know, second, even pulling that secondary in and allowing those receivers to get open downfield. So now they'll have Brandon Cooks back. They'll have C.J. Spiller catching out of the backfield, working with Mark Ingram, who's more of a ground pounder in the middle. And I think it's going to work out beautifully. I would be drafting C.J. Spiller if he was there at the right time. It just all depends on your league.
What and so speaking of what the right time is, he looks like he's going about at the end of the sixth round, early seventh round. Would that be the right time for you to take him?
Yeah, I mean, I knew he was going around the sixth round, and I was thinking between the sixth and eighth round, if you could pick up C.J. Spiller, he's just an automatic, you know. I mean, when you get to the sixth round, that's a critical pick. Let's not joke about it, RC. Sixth round, fifth, sixth, seventh rounds are big picks for you. But getting a running back who can put up, you know, 10 to 20 points every game has the potential to put up 10 to 20 points every game in that offense, that juggernaut offense of the Saints. You know, if you could pick him up in the sixth round, do it. I mean, people weren't drafting Darren Sproles that high the first year he was in the New Orleans, but they quickly learned about that. So I think this is what they did. They went, you know, that team went out and they said, listen, you know, Peyton and company, this is what we need. We lost Darren Sproles. We need a C.J. Spiller. We need the same kind of back that we can put out there but not get him hurt. That's what they got.
Yep. Another very significant guy, but you have to wonder how much he still has left in the tank would be Frank Gore. He moves over to the Colts, who had an atrocious time trying to find some kind of semblance of a running game. And you have to wonder if Frank Gore is really the answer. You have to admire Frank Gore over his career. You know, he certainly has been one of the most fun to watch, determined, tenacious, hardworking running backs. But at this point in his career, he is now, I believe, 32 years old, and he moves over to the Colts to try to help them. Certainly, the big advantage here is that this offense has really just only gotten better. You know, they did add Andre Johnson. I don't have great expectations for him, but certainly it's an improvement over Hakeem Nicks, who they were trying to play at that number two spot. They still have T.Y. Hilton. They've got those two productive tight ends. Dante Moncrief should be more of a threat. They drafted Philip Dorsett, who, he's a rookie who definitely has the field stretching abilities. So, you know, if everything falls into place, this should be maybe an easier place to play for Frank Gore. So he's got – the only guy really backing him up is Dan Heron, who actually looked pretty competent last year. But I don't know what to make of it. I personally – and by the way, Frank Gore is going after C.J. Spiller around the early seventh round. I think if you're really desperate for running backs and you know, that presents itself, it makes sense. But I don't know. What do you think of that? You know, certainly that's a big improvement over where you got Frank Gore last year, which I believe you had to spend like a third-round pick. But do you think it's worth it?
Well, I'm going to go to my list of fantasy football rules, my 1,000 rules to live by in fantasy football, and number 666, right there, 666, never have Frank Gore on your team. I'm going to tell you this, guys,
really?
32 years old, really, I have had Frank Gore on maybe one or two fantasy teams, and that was back in his younger days where he was actually younger and more sprite and he was getting hurt more. Last year he had a nice little comeback year. But now, you know, but let's take a look. He's 32 years old. He's now in his 10th season. So he's in that graveyard for running backs. When you get past that 8th, 9th year in the NFL, you're kind of in – you're definitely in the down slope. So what it looks like is you're just going to get worse and worse and worse. And Frank Gore is now going to a very highly offensive team. Again, another one of those offensive juggernauts. You mentioned all of them, the receiver, the tight end, and Dan Boone Heron back there behind him. My worry with Frank Gore is that, yes, will he help balance that offense? Yes, there's no doubt he will help balance that offense. My only concern, number one, is health and effectiveness and how long they're gonna keep him in there. I mean, they may not keep him in there very long, especially if he doesn't find success in the running game. So I would sit here and say, this is how I always say, let somebody else deal with that mess. I'd rather have C.J. Spiller than deal with the mess that Frank Gore could be, and especially in a passing offense, because you know Andrew Luck. You know he's like Peyton Manning. And when it comes down to it, he's going to call that audible, and I promise you, RC, 9 out of 10 times, that audible is not going to be a run play. So I just say, steer clear of Frank Gore. If you disagree, it's fair. But you're wrong. You're dead wrong. But it's okay. It's fair.
No, you know I don't disagree. I've never been crazy about Frank Gore, but I just, you know, I have grown to admire him because I have always underestimated him. And, you know, I think last year was really the biggest surprise in how he had the threat of Carlos Hyde behind him. Matter of fact, that Kendall Hunter, before he got hurt, he looked pretty good. There was just so many guys that could have usurped him, and yet he didn't allow it to happen at 31 years old. I think in the seventh round, if I kind of went, you know, heavy with maybe drafting a quarterback early and a couple of receivers, and I needed someone as, you know, certainly my number two, you can't get away with him as your number one anymore. It probably could work out where I don't think he's going to be horrible. I think Frank Gore might be the kind of guy where if he feels he can't play anymore, he's just going to retire. And maybe that's going to happen after the season. You know, that remains to be seen. So replacing, not really replacing him because he's, you know, a completely different player and not nearly as proficient and much more disappointing last year. But moving over to San Francisco is Reggie Bush, who now should be backing up Carlos Hyde. Well, you know, Carlos Hyde was somebody probably the top-rated running back that came out of the draft class last year in a pretty weak draft class. And we really didn't get a lot, you know, in terms of, like, viewing him for, you know. I think towards the end of the season, he played a little bit more, but he also had some injury problems. So he's a little bit of a wild card. And plus, that San Francisco, you know, team looks, especially on the offensive side, is a little bit in disarray, getting older. But nonetheless, I mean, Carlos Hyde should be the guy that you want. But Reggie Bush is now the number two over there. And, I mean, judging, he was just an abysmal disappointment last year in Detroit. I mean, is this a guy you would even touch? I'm guessing absolutely not, but I'll ask anyway.
No. I mean, you know how much I did like Reggie Bush in Detroit. I mean, I think the whole Darren Sproles, Reggie Bush strategy of having a very fast, strong pass catching, secondary running back for your team, and on third down situation or passing down, it's a strategy that's really being built throughout the league. You're seeing every team kind of do the same thing with the strategy, and this is the case with San Francisco. They're trying to rebuild their offense. They have Kaepernick there. They have some decent wide receiver talent there. A little bit of egos, but nonetheless, good wide receiver talent. Now they had to fill in the backfield. Carlos Hyde is one of my favorite running backs coming out this year. I think he's going to be a guy you're going to be able to grab. Where's Carlos Hyde going right now? Is he going on the fourth round, RC? Is that still where he's going, or is he going higher or lower?
Carlos Hyde is going actually pretty late. Believe it or not, he's going early fourth round, yeah. I'm surprised.
I would be surprised at that, too.
Yeah, it is. The way the ADP so far is shaping up is, despite the fact that he's suspended a couple games, Bell is still going first. Eddie Lacy number two, which makes sense. Jamal Charles three. Adrian Peterson is going number four, but I've seen many rankings that where he's actually number one, and I can't argue with that really. Matt Forte, number five, DeMarco Murray, number six. Now, this is a guy that's pretty interesting, and since you're the Cowboys expert and you know DeMarco Murray as well as anybody, he's another guy who has changed addresses, and he's going over to Philadelphia. And I would say the conventional wisdom on him is that this is not a good move for DeMarco Murray. He does not have the luxury of one of the best offensive lines in football anymore. He also might be hampered by Chip Kelly's insanity and eccentric egomaniac kind of offense, whatever he's doing over there. So Well, I mean, he's going in the early second round. I'm not touching him there. What do you feel?
Here's what I would do. Okay, I'm going to say this. And you know, I mean, I always put my proverbial, you know what, out on the line here. And I will say this right now. I will not touch DeMarco Murray. You're absolutely right. He doesn't have that offensive line that he used to have. That's just trouble for him to begin with. And he also is an offense that isn't built around a running game. It's just not. You know, Chip Kelly is a crazy offense with crazy players. And then, of course, now he has Sam Bradford behind him. And God knows, I would just say he has Mark Sanchez behind him. You know what? That guy gets hurt, too. Let's see if Tim Tebow behind him. I don't even care who's behind him. He's going to have a decent year. He's going to get his 1,000-yard run. I'm going to tell you right now, Carlos Hyde will outscore DeMarco Murray by year-end. DeMarco Murray has problems staying healthy. He's going to get hit a lot harder in Philadelphia because they simply do not have the offensive line the Cowboys have. He had huge holes to run through. When he doesn't have those huge holes and he has to take on defensive linemen and linebackers in those holes, you know, he's still going to get his yards. He's still a good running back. He's a native of Las Vegas, and I love him, but he's not going to have the success. You would skip over him, go get Carlos Hyde the third or even late fourth round, and you will be happier. And by the way, I mean, Carlos Hyde did put up, you know, an average of 4.0 yards, otherwise 4 yards. 4.0 is known otherwise as 4 yards per carry last year in limited work. And I think he had about 80 carries or so along with a few catches, and he put up 4 touchdowns. I mean, the guy showed he can run. The problem was that Frank Gore had a lot of success, and I think the 49ers, knowing that it was a down year for them, ran the crud out of Frank Gore and didn't want to put a lot of workload onto their starting running back for the next year. I think they knew that. I think we all knew Carlos Hyde was going to be 2015 starting running back. And as you know, RC, in our fantasy league that we're drafting for, who'd I draft?
Carlos Hyde?
Yes. You guys don't think I'm crazy. He will be a number 2 draft pick. He will be a second round, possibly first round draft pick next year. But I certainly think he'll hit the second round next year. Moving on. Oh, and DeMarco Murray, anyway, you heard what I said about DeMarco Murray. I would just he's a guy that I would let him be somebody else's problem. There's plenty of good picks in the second round. I would, you know, whenever they change teams, especially like this with DeMarco Murray, I would just, you know, put the stay clear sign up.
Yep, I would have to completely agree with that. Going over to probably the highest profile guys that signed in new locations, Jeremy Maclin over in Kansas City. That could be interesting, under Andy Reid again. I just have doubts about Alex Smith and his ability to throw downfield consistently. He's more of a game manager, you know, as is, you know, just widely apparent at this point in his career. I would expect a pretty decent drop off, and I think everyone's expecting that because he's still going fairly high, but you can get Maclin, it looks like, right at the beginning of like the fifth round in that area right there, and that might be a good place to take him. But certainly, I mean, wouldn't you agree? There's going to be a fairly steep drop off, perhaps from what he did last year in Philadelphia.
I wouldn't say it's going to be steep. I mean, drafting anything in the passing game for the Kansas City Chiefs pretty much since Priest Holmes has been bloody murder. I mean, you know, you've had a lot of talent there, you know, and the guys like Dwayne Bowe and other wide receivers that have come through. I'm blanking on their young tight end. Who's that young great tight end that they have there?
Travis Kelce.
I'll just call him Kelce. You know, you have him there. You know, you have a group of talented players. You have a great running game between Jamal Charles and Nile Davis. You have everything you need there. Now you have Jeremy Maclin, and you have a couple other, you know, wannabes that are in there. I think he could find success there. The bottom line is they have to throw the ball at some time, and they can't always throw to Jamal Charles or to Nile Davis. So they have to throw the ball, and I think, you know, and Andy Reid went out and said, let's get a guy that I know and let's put him in there. Let's make this offense a little flashier. Would I put up the steer clear sign on Jeremy Maclin? You bet. I'm not going to change my philosophy. Rule number 891, stay away from the passing game of the Kansas City Chiefs. But I'm just happy he's out of Philadelphia.
So you wouldn't, I mean, if you were kind of light on receivers and like the fifth, sixth round rolls around, you wouldn't really take a shot on Maclin?
Not that early. No, there's plenty of other picks. Listen, it's like Dwayne Bowe. Last year, people were still drafting Dwayne Bowe high. And, I, you know, we talked about it. You've always kind of been a little bit of a Dwayne Bowe lover, and I've always just kind of been on the sideline with him. And I'm like, dude, it's Kansas City. He'll have a three-touchdown game and end up on the season with six touchdowns, okay? That's what Dwayne Bowe did. And Jeremy Maclin won't be any different. I think he'll tack on catches. I think he'll put up, you know, six touchdowns, maybe seven touchdowns. But it's just too much risk. I mean, I just think there's better players. Now, if you're talking about the seventh, eighth, ninth round, if he's still sitting out there, which if he is, it's a ridiculous draft, then I would take him. But at sixth round, I'd rather get C.J. Spiller than, you know, go with a running back than go with Jeremy Maclin. That's just me.
Yeah, no, and I agree. And that's why that I was, like, estimating a steep drop-off. And I thought you were disagreeing with that. But remember, you know, this was a guy that had 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns last year. I mean, you don't see that happening. Yeah, you know what I mean? So if he can get to 1,000 with, like you're saying, six touchdowns, I think that's going to be a really good year for him over in Kansas City. So, you know, I really don't think he's going to come near what he did last year, right? You know?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yep. Two other guys who are going in about the same place, which looks to be about between the seventh and eighth round. Two other guys with new addresses, Torrey Smith, who goes over to San Francisco, and Mike Wallace, who goes over to Minnesota. These are two guys that I would think ended up in places that are not conducive to their style of playing. With Torrey Smith, although I think with Torrey Smith he's in a little better shape because Kaepernick can throw deep when he feels like it, so that could actually work out. But Mike Wallace over in Minnesota with Teddy Bridgewater throwing to him, I don't think Teddy Bridgewater is really that great with the deep passes, and that's really what Mike Wallace is all about, and that was kind of the criticism of Tannehill a bit, where he wasn't really that good with his deep ball accuracy, and that hurt Wallace there. You know, obviously the best years that Wallace has had was throwing with over in Pittsburgh with Roethlisberger, who, you know, throws one of the best deep balls in the league. So you have to wonder what these two guys are going to do. Certainly, they're being discounted in fantasy drafts already. But, I mean, of these two guys, would you take a chance with one or both of them?
I like, we're down to about, I think, a few more minutes in the show. But I like Mike Wallace. I mean, I like him in Minnesota on that. I think he can bring up memories of Randy Moss. And I say memories. I didn't say anything else. I said just... because he'll be speeding down those sidelines on that soft turf in that, you know, in that facility there. Actually, do they still have turf there in Minnesota? I'm blanking on that. Do they still have turf there, or is it grass now?
Well, now, a lot of stadiums have gone to field turf, which I think is a different – yeah, I think that's what they have, yeah.
But the bottom line is I think that he could find success with Teddy Bridgewater. I think it's a gamble. I think you're going to be gambling. I'd rather gamble on Mike Wallace in Minnesota than in Jeremy Maclin in Kansas City. As far as Torrey Smith is a great wide receiver, but you're absolutely right. He's over there in San Francisco now with a quarterback that rather run than throw the ball deep, and in a team that's going to be probably hell-bent on running the ball anyway. So I'm not as excited about Torrey Smith. He's still a fine pick, you know, later in the draft, a little bit later in the draft, obviously, I'm talking about sixth, seventh round. But I am intrigued by Mike Wallace in Minnesota. I'm not going to lie. I think that would be a fun gamble to take.
Yeah. I mean, certainly they're going, you know, low enough in drafts where they're worth the gamble. I would definitely I prefer Torrey Smith a little bit more, but I think you're right. Mike Wallace could very well work out. Just quickly, the two really notable tight ends there's actually three. Of course, Jimmy Graham moves over to Seattle, and he's not being drafted nearly as high as he was going last year, of course. But you'd still have to spend about an early third-round pick on him. And then the other guys really are Julius Thomas, who moves over to Jacksonville, which cannot be favorable for his career. And then really the third notable tight end is Jordan Cameron, who moves over to Miami, who you can actually get much later in drafts, where that does seem to be a good move for him. And that's a guy that could be a great value where he's going, which is looks to be about the ninth, tenth round. Julius Thomas is going about the seventh or eighth round area. Jimmy Graham, once again, is going early second. Of those three guys, how do you feel about the prospects?
If you could get Jordan Cameron, where'd you say he was going again? The eighth round, he said?
Jordan Cameron's going about the 10th, 11th round.
11th round. He is an absolute sleeper wherever he's taken. I thought the draft that I saw him in, the mocks I was going to, he was going around the 8th. He's an absolute just dead sleeper. I mean, people were down him last year. Obviously, he was hurt a little bit last year at the beginning of the year. I believe it was the beginning of the year. He had off years in Cleveland because it's Cleveland. They're just a junk team. So now he's going to Miami, which has, I think, a much better established offense. And they utilize a tight end. There's been a lot of success in Miami in past years, you know, with Bassano and company that have done great there. So I love Jordan Cameron. I would say Jimmy Graham, not because he's going to be bad in Seattle, because taking him in the third round and risking him being in that offense is too much of a risk. I still like Julius Thomas where he's going. I mean, Julius Thomas is a guy you just can't cover. He's very hard to cover. And I believe he'll be like a Delanie Walker in Tennessee, where when that quarterback's on the run for his life, Blake Bortles, when he's running for his life, he's going to be looking to Julius Thomas. So if you're in a PPR league, certainly Julius Thomas will carry a lot of value.
You think? Okay. Well, but you would definitely take Jordan Cameron. I mean, would you actually spend
a seventh round pick on
Julius?
Jordan Cameron, I would not touch, to be totally honest with you, I would not go after Julius Thomas or Jimmy Graham. I would wait for Jordan Cameron.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, tight end is, like, really interesting this year because, you know, there's one clear top guy, Gronkowski, who's going in the first round. That guy we just mentioned from Kansas City is actually going really high. The end of the fourth round, Travis Kelce. Greg Olsen is going number four. He's probably the most reliable of anyone in terms of consistency. Zach Ertz actually has crept back up the charts after a usually disappointing season last year. But believe it or not, Zach Ertz is going about a full round before Jordan Cameron. And that's it, really. You know, so tight end is going to be pretty interesting. It's almost like we were talking about like Jason Witten. Certainly he's being heavily discounted in drafts. He's a guy that you get extremely late. Looks like about the 13th, 14th round. One guy that, is worth definitely speculating on is Eric Ebron. He was the highly touted rookie that came to Detroit last year, did virtually nothing, showed some select glimpses, but really nothing that has moved them up draft boards, and rightfully so. But he's a guy that he's ranking about number 20 of all the tight ends. And, you know, so if you get caught not taking one, he's definitely worth a gamble. The other rookie is going much higher. The other rookie from last year, Austin Seferian Jenkins, people seem to be very high on him. He was held back by injuries last year, but, you know, he can definitely bounce back and be worth it. But I think he's going a little bit too high. He's going about a 10th round. But, yeah, tight end's going to be pretty interesting. It's almost like you're saying, you know, just wait it out, you know, hopefully get, like, Jordan Cameron and, you know, just hope for him to stay healthy for once, which, you know, in addition to the problems of the dysfunctional offense and the bad quarterbacks, Jordan Cameron last year just couldn't stay healthy. I mean, do you think that's going to change this year?
I mean, it very well could change. I mean, it's a different team and it, with different schemes and different blocking schemes, and he's just going to be a different player on that team. I mean, I'll say this. I told everybody last year, no way would I draft Jimmy Graham in the second round. I was proven right on that. I mean, obviously he got hurt, but even if he did, he just didn't have the year that everybody expected him to have. I do like Eric Ebron. I think that last year Detroit had a very confused offense. I think their offense was very, who am I throwing to? Am I throwing to Johnson? Am I throwing to Tate? Reggie Bush out of the back. Oh, my gosh, we have like three running backs back here. We don't even know who to run anymore. Well, they got rid of Bush. And I think that's going to open up the passing game for Eric Ebron, that they're going to be able to see and say, okay, now we got this tight end. Now he's learned the system. He's now in his second year. I do like him. I mean, some, you know, tight ends have got to catch the ball. And I, you know, last year I lived in and I won championships with Delaney Walker. You know, if you can get a tight end that's with a quarterback that needs help and needs a tight end to catch balls, that's all you need. I mean, you know, you're going to get touchdowns here and there. I mean, you're not going to get 10 or 12 or 14 like you might get out of Gronk. But you're going to get 6, 7, 8, but you're going to get 80 catches. 80-plus catches out of a good tight end who sticks by his quarterback. That's all you can ask for at this point. And, you know, and Jason Witten, I think, would be a steal late in the draft. I mean, he's still one of Tony Romo's favorite targets. Did he have an off year last year? Certainly. But now they don't have DeMarco Murray. So even though they have Joseph Randall and company there, they still may have an issue with, you know, the third down conversions, and now Jason Witten becomes a little bit more important this year. So just consider that as we head out of the show. I'll let you have the last word, RC, and then I'll play your opening to close the show.
Okay, cool. It's great to be back doing this, and, you know, hopefully – we'll get into the, you know, some rookie talk for, you know, prior to the weeks preceding, starting next week up until the season, and it should be fun.
Yeah, RC and I are going to try to do two shows a week during the regular season, and we might do a couple of two-week shows during the preseason here as well. And don't forget, we do have the Block Talk Radio Leagues up, so if you do want to join them, just email me, Todd, at fantasyfootballtonight.com, and I'll see about adding you in. I might be cutting down one of the leagues. I haven't talked to you about that yet, RC, but I think maybe only two's all we need. But right now they're all up, and I think we have nine or ten players in all three leagues. So we only have about five spots open. So if you are one of our loyal, loving listeners, drop me an email, and I'll get you in the leagues. And, RC, let's hear your opening now, and we will be back soon.
Take it easy.
You have room on your team for this little space, bitch.
With all due respect, and remember, I'm saying with all due respect, that idea ain't worth a velvet painting of a whale and a dolphin getting it on.
Come on, RC.
Did you like that? You think we can use it?
Yes, I loved it. Yeah, I love it.
But you think Block Talk Radio is going to have a problem with you know, what she's saying? Did you hear what she's saying? Open up the... So is there room on you for this? I'm sorry?
I don't think they'll have a problem with it.
Okay, and you know what? Bleep them if they do, because they charge us too much money. Or try to. We're not paying it this year.
No, I'm working on that, though. I'm working on that. You know, we've had over 500,000 downloads of this show, and I'm taking that to them. So we'll see how that works out.
Okay. All right. Keep us posted.
I'll talk to you guys all later. This is the end of our first show. By the way, I'm just letting you know that velvet painting thing, I added it. That's not part of the opening.
Yeah, I picked that up. Thank you.
All right, adios, RC.
Take it easy.